So as we know by now, Hashem runs the world. Hashem controls everything, every aspect of the universe, from the tiniest ant on the floor to the billion galaxies in the sky. Hakol bidei shamayim, we're all in the hands of God. Everything is in the hands of Hashem. And we would think that people, they don't have any say in what goes on in the world. We're puppets. Whatever Hashem says goes, and the people have no say. But there's one exception. Really, we don't have any say. But there's one exception. And Hashem gave us this power called the power of tefillah, the power of prayer, in which we could affect how Hashem acts in this world. And we could actually have input how Hashem deals with us. This is amazing. We could affect what Hashem does to us through tefillah. I'm going to read you some words from the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch writes about the mitzvah of tefillah. He says, Mishorsheh HaMitzvah. He says, Hashem loves us. He wants to give us good. But He set up the world in a way of reward and punishment. And everything is going to happen to a person based on his actions. He says, HaTovot VeHaBerachot Yacholu Al Bnei Adam Kefi Pe'ulatam. It's only going to work according to their actions. But Hashem said, but sometimes you deserve Chas V'Shalom, you deserve suffering. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you suffer. So He says, Hashem taught us a way that we could get only good, everything that we want for the good, even though we don't deserve it. And that is the mitzvah of tefillah. To pray to Hashem, to ask, to open up our hearts to Him, and even though you don't deserve, Hashem says, I'm going to give it to you anyway, just because you asked me. And not only that, and He says, Hashem will answer you, anyone who prays sincerely. And not only that, He commanded us to pray. He said, He gave us a mitzvah to pray only because He wants to give us good and He doesn't want to see you suffer. So just open up your hearts and ask me and I'll change the decree. So this is amazing. The Chazon Ish writes, he writes in a letter, how wondrous it is that a person could speak out all of his worries and problems with the Adon Olam, with the Master of the world, the same way he speaks to his friend. He says, whenever you have any issues on your mind, any problems, you just go and talk to Hashem. You feel much better. Just sit and talk to Him. Furthermore, he says, tefillah is not limited. It's not limited to the big things. It's not limited only to parnasah and rifuah. It says tefillah extends to everything, even to the smallest things. A guy needs a parking spot, pray for it. A guy needs Chazon Ish said, if a guy has a torn pair of shoes, what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to turn to God, Hashem, I need new shoes. Please, give me a new pair of shoes. There's nothing too small to ask of Hashem. And it's not just that we could affect the Bidiyah. It's not just that we could affect the world. It goes much deeper. It says in Parashat Bereshit, it says when Hashem created the world, before anything began to grow, Hashem didn't bring the rain yet. Why? Beha'adam ayin la'avodet ha'adama. Because there was no man yet to work the land. Hashem didn't bring rain because there's no man to work the land. And Rashi explains, what does that mean? Why didn't He bring rain? He says that technically, all of the growth, everything that was going to come out of the ground was right at the edge of the earth, waiting to come. It was right there. He says, but Hashem was waiting for a person to come and recognize the need for rain to bring out this vegetation. So He'll pray for it. And once He prays for it, then I'll bring out the vegetation. Which is amazing. Rabbi Yerucham says, we see from here an unbelievable concept. That Hashem created the world with a system that the only way for growth to happen is through tefillah. Which means, in order for us to receive the beracha that Hashem wants to give us, which is in Shamayim, it's waiting for you. A person can have beracha waiting at the edge of Shamayim to come down, but you need to pull it down first. You need tefillah. He's waiting for your tefillah to bring it down. A guy could have, it was decreed last Rosh Hashanah, that he's supposed to make $1 million this year. And he's, but as he said, it could be waiting right there for you. It's right at the edge of Shamayim, waiting to come down. What do you need to do to bring it? You need tefillah. It's a koach in the world that without it, you might be deprived. This is a person who lives without tefillah in his life. He's living a deprived life. You are not getting what you really deserve, what's really coming to you. Tefillah is called hishtadlut. Besides for going to work, it's the real money is made in barech aleinu. Then you just carry it out after. The real rifuah happens in rifaenu. Then, okay, you go to the doctors after, but Hashem is the true healer and Hashem is the true one that gives us our source of parnasah. And like we said, the tefillot are not limited to 3 times a day. We pray 3 times a day, but at any time that you want to talk to Hashem, He's waiting for you. He loves to hear you. What is tefillah exactly? The Kuzari writes, the only way to get close to Hashem on this earth is through tefillah. And he goes on to say that if you could achieve this closeness to Hashem in this world, through tefillah, he says, when a person goes to the next world, his soul will automatically be attached to Hashem. Because he was able to fulfill it in this world, guaranteed when he gets to the next world, his soul will cling to God. The world we know stands on 3 pillars. Ala Torah, ala Avodah, ve'al Gemilut Chasadim. Torah, Tefillah, and kindness. And the Rambam says, but you should know, the main pillar is Tefillah. And it's a davar, the Gemara says, ha'omed birumo shel olam. And people are mizalzel. People cheapen it. We don't give Tefillah the proper respect. Why not? Why don't we machshiv this unbelievable tool that Hashem gave us? We come in, we pray, and then next, gun down the tefillah and move on. Why are we not machshiv this great koach? So he says the main problem is our lack of emunah and the power of tefillah. We don't feel deep in our hearts the truth that tefillah is the only way that we will achieve success. And when we pray without emunah, we weaken the power of the tefillah. Why don't we believe in the tefillah? I'm telling you right now that the only way to have success is through tefillah. Why don't we believe that? Well, one reason is, you might look around the world, you say, I don't know, I see people successful, and they're not the biggest prayers. I don't see them in shul all the time. I don't see them praying. And they're successful. What do you mean? The only way to get success is through tefillah. So these are questions people might have. But the answer is, there's only one answer. The only way they're successful is through tefillah. They don't pray. It must have been a prayer by their grandfather. It must have been a prayer from their father. The only way for them to achieve success is through tefillah. And if they didn't do it, someone did it for them. They must have had parents who cried for their children. I want my son to be successful. Or a grandpa. Whatever it was. But the truth remains the truth. The only way for true success in this world is through tefillah. Chafetz Chaim gives a mashal. He says, he's talking about why people are not machshiv the tefillah so much. He gives a mashal, funny mashal. He says that there was a town, a wealthy man in the town, and a guy comes one day and knocks on his door. And he says, excuse me, mister, you have to help me. I'm making a wedding next week. I lost all my money. I don't have a dime to pay for the wedding. And I'm gonna go out of my mind. It's real. The wedding is next week. I don't have a dollar to pay. You have to help me. You're a friend of my father's. You're one of my father's closest friends. Please, you have to help me. Please, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And the guy tells him, don't worry. relax, I knew your father. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry, I have a wedding coming up. I want you to enjoy the wedding. Just do me a favor. Go enjoy. Take all the worry off your mind. Come to my office tomorrow at 12 o'clock and I'll cover the whole entire wedding. Just come to my office, you'll be okay. Because, oh, thank you so much. Wow, you take a... See you tomorrow. Guy goes to his office, he's waiting there. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, no show. Says, I don't know, must have been an honest, must have been something happened. Okay, maybe he'll cut. Guy goes home. The next morning, the same time, knock at the door. He opens the door, says, oh, mister, you have to help me, please. I'm making a wedding next week, I have no money. You don't understand, I went out of business, and my daughter, she has to get married, please. To come to weddings in 5 days, at least. The guy's thinking, what is this guy doing? Maybe he forgot, maybe I forgot. He says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry, I'm going to pay for the wedding. You just come to my office tomorrow at 2 o'clock and I'll take care of everything. Thank you, okay, fine. And what happens? The guy goes back to his office, 2 o'clock. The guy doesn't show. 3 o'clock, 4, he doesn't show. Okay, doesn't know what's going on. He goes back home again. The next morning again, knock at the door. The same exact thing. Please, oh, you have to help. The guy says, what in the world is wrong with you? You're crazy. I told you to come to my office. What are you doing? The guy's out of his mind. He says the Chafetz Chaim, but sometimes we do the same thing to God. We're the same. He says, I'll give you one tefillah. He says, let's pick out one tefillah. I'll show you what we do. He says, every morning we come to shul and we say, Ahavat olam avtanu Hashem. You love us so much. You give such a love for us. Chemla gedola vitera hamalta alenu. So much mercy you have on us. Avinu malkenu, our father Hashem. We need so much from you. But don't do it for me, Hashem. You're a friend of my father's. Ba'abur abotenu shebad chubach. You knew my father, Hashem. Please, you gotta help me. What do we need? We need hamrachem, rachem tembeli beno bina. I need wisdom. Lahavin, I have to understand your Torah. Laskil, lishmoa, lilmod, lilamed. We have a list. We need so many things. And Hashem, please, and I wanna love the learning. I don't wanna just learn. I wanna love it. Ve'ha'erenenu v'toratecha v'dabek libeno v'mitzvotecha. I wanna get a charge from the learning. And I don't wanna be embarrassed in this world, in the next world. Lo nevosh, lo nikalem. Please. I say, I'm trusting in you. And he says, and I need it fast. Maher ve'aveh aleinu. I need it quick, right away. I need it. And Hashem says, don't worry, my child. It's okay, I'm going to take care of you. You just come to me. You come to me, I'll give you anything you want. You want Torah knowledge? Come. And what do we do right after tefillah sometimes? Wrap up our tefillin, and we're out of there. And Hashem is standing, he's waiting. He says, what happened? You asked me for wisdom. I'm ready to give you. I was going to open up the Shamayim for you. And then what happens the next morning? Ahavat Olam, Hashem, please. Hashem, you love us so much. I need so much. And again, we do the same thing every day. What's the message? The message is that we don't realize the power. We don't realize the power of our words. If we really believed that if we prayed for something, Hashem would come through, everyone would be standing online. What? Hashem's going to open up my mind? And he's gonna pour into me the knowledge of Torah, we'd be there. Person has to have emunah in the tefillah. You have to believe that your prayers are heard by Hashem. The Ya'aro Tevash says an amazing thing. He writes, if a person would say in the morning, the Amidah and Shema with Kavanah, real Kavanah, he said it's been tried and tested, that you will be zoche that day to do good deeds and you will have hatzlacha in all of your affairs, in your business, everything. And even if it doesn't seem that way in the beginning, in the end you will realize with such a clarity that it's so. And he says, and it goes without saying, that if you prayed good that morning, you'll for sure have success in your learning of Torah. And he writes further, if you see somebody, you see your friends excelling in Torah, you see you're sitting in the class and you don't understand what's going on, your friend's getting the whole thing and he's answering and he's not, and you don't get it. He says, where does this power come from that he understands? He says, don't think it's his brains. It's not from his sechel. He says, because for anybody to want to really understand the Torah of Hashem, it's a gift. Hashem gives us a gift to understand it. And who does He give the gift to the most? He says, the one who prayed for it more. He must have prayed for it more than you. He asked, Hashem, please open up my brain. Sometimes I'm sitting in the class and I don't know what the rabbi's talking about. You're telling me this Gemara, that, this. All you got to do is ask. Oh, ask. And Hashem said, I'll give it to you. And people think, who am I to ask? What am I? I'm a nothing. What do I deserve? I'm a little enough. If Hashem sees what I do all day, I'm going to go ask Him now for favors. And the Kiddushah Televi says in Parashat Vayechi, we must strengthen our emunah that even though Hashem is Melech Malchei HaMelachim, He's interested in your tefillot and He desires them, even if the person is at the lowest spiritual levels. Rav Sadok says further, he says the person on the lower level has a greater chance of his tefillah being answered. Why? What's so great about the guy in the low spiritual level? He says, because that guy really feels he's not worthy. That guy really feels that I'm totally relying on Hashem's mercy. Sometimes when we do good, we say, you know, I deserve it. You know, I'm learning, I'm doing good, I'm praying. And what I deserve. So you deserve it? Oh, let's go see if you really deserve it. But the guy who knows he doesn't deserve it, he's praying solely, he's relying on God's mercy. God says, for him, I'm going to come through. Chafetz Chaim got up in public one day and he told the people, he says, I promise you, Hashem is longing and awaiting your tefillot. He says, of every single one of you, and never think because of your actions, Hashem doesn't want to hear you anymore. It's the Yetzer Hara. He comes and he says, who are you? You know what you do? You're alone, nothing. Hashem, it's not for you. That's the Yetzer Hara. Hashem can't wait to hear you. He wants you to come back to Him. Pasuk says, Ufaro hikriv. Paro came close. Paro was getting close to the Jews. They were at Yam Suf. And the Jews got scared and they screamed out to God. They were praying. And the Midrash there says, Hashem brought Paro close for one reason only. Just because He wanted to hear the Jews pray. That's it. He brought the enemy so He could hear them pray. And Rav Yechezkel writes about that. He says that we think that Hashem brings a person a sara, and then we have to pray to get out of it. We have to pray to get out of the trouble. He says, no, it's opposite. He says, Hashem wants to hear you so badly. He wants to get close to you so badly. He's willing to give you a sara, some trouble, just so that you turn to Him to pray. And He's willing to, and we said last week, Hashem suffers with you. He hates to see you suffering. It's the worst thing for Him. But He's willing to undergo the suffering because of the final result of getting close to you. That's all He wants. All Hashem wants is for His children to turn to Him and get close to Him. That's all He's asking for. And it's for our own good. We have to internalize this. That Hashem wants our tefillot. And He'll answer them. Hashem is karov lechol, as long as it's sincere, as long as you believe. And if we internalize this, our lives would change for the better. This was a simple fact to the rabbis of the previous generations. They believed nothing, like nothing. Last generation, tefillah to them was a reality. You pray, you'll be answered. You prayed wholeheartedly, guarantee Hashem will answer you. They told the story of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. He was once traveling on a ship from France to England. And on the ship there was one of the community leaders. His name was Mr. Harry Goodman. And they weren't aware of each other's presence on the boat. And it was a horrible, horrible boat ride. There was a storm. The boat was rocking. Everyone got seasick. And they were throwing up the entire trip. Finally, they barely made it to England, and everyone was getting off the boat. And Mr. Goodman saw the rabbi, saw the Rosh Yeshiva. He says, oh, Rosh Yeshiva, I didn't know you're on the boat. He says, how are you feeling? Are you okay? So the rabbi said, what do you mean? What's wrong? He says, we were all sick, throwing up, killing. He said, you're not feeling, you got sick? He said, yeah. He said, You obviously didn't say Tefillat HaDerech with Kavana. What do you mean you got sick? If you said Tefillat HaDerech, you wouldn't have gotten sick. It was Pashut. Nothing happened to the rabbi because he prayed with sincerity. You pray with sincerity, you're guaranteed answered. Everybody heard, I don't know if anyone saw, that how Rav Moshe Feinstein used to pray. They say he used to pray like a rock standing. It says it was an awesome sight just to watch him while he prayed the Amidah. And he had such fear and humility and trepidation. And someone once asked him, Rabbi, how do you pray like that? It's such like a rock. And he said, I remember one time when I was in Russia and he was caught by the secret police and he was interrogated for hours. And he said, this is how I stood there. I stood there with pachad. He said, and that's how I stand in front of Hashem. When someone once told Rabbi Moshe, they said there's a etzara, there's people in the community, they're not feeling well, there's trouble. He would go over to the chazan, he'd tell the chazan, don't wait for me today. I have to pray longer. It's a reality. I need to pray for these people. I got to get them better. One of his grandchildren was once in the hospital. And he went to say Tehillim. He was standing by the window saying Tehillim. And he kept asking them, did they call from the hospital yet? Is he better? Every time the phone rang, is that them? The phone, again, is that them? Finally the phone rang? Yeah, he's better now. Okay, thanks. I'll go back to my learning now. It's a reality. He's waiting. I'm praying. I'm waiting for the answer. It was understood. The way to get things done is through tefillah. If we could develop this truth, our tefillot would have so much power. Tefillah is accepted according to the level of emunah you put in the tefillah. What is kavanah? The more kavanah you have, the greater your tefillah will be. What does kavanah mean? Kavanah comes from the root word. Kavanah actually means a direction, a kivun, direction. Or it means focusing, directing and focusing our attention. If we have a concept of focused energy, could it accomplish enormous, has enormous power, focused energy. Ever see a guy doing karate? They have the block of wood. He focuses all his energy and he's able to chop the wood in half. What is that from? Focused energy. They have something called the laser beam. What's the laser beam? It's concentrated light. And laser could cut through iron. Amazing. The more, if you concentrate something, it could cut through iron. If a person could focus his thoughts, our thoughts are more powerful than any beams of light or any karate chop. If you could focus all of your thoughts on one thing and you keep mechaven to shamayim, our tefillot could break through iron. Could break through the walls of heaven. Lo aleno, there could be a decree, and that's how tefillah could break a decree. How? Kavanah, you focus all of your attention. One thing, and you put it all into mind. There was a rabbi, he used to pray a very long shacharit. He used to finish, they were up to Ubal Etzion, Ashrei Ubal Etzion, and someone noticed the rabbi, the same rabbi, at Mincha Arbit, he would finish very the same time as everybody else. So they asked him, Rabbi, how come for Shaharit you take very long? For Mincha Arbit, you're regular. And the rabbi said, simple. He said, in Shaharit, I have my whole day ahead of me. I have so many things that I need Hatzlacha. I have to ask for so many requests. My tefillah is longer. He said, by the time we get to Mincha, especially in the summer, the day is over. I'm praying Mincha, 6:30, 7 o'clock. All right, the day is over. I could go through it a little quicker. But that's what, it was real to them. I have something I have to accomplish today. I have to go to work first. How do you go to work? You go pray for it. There was a guy, it was a businessman in Israel. And he lost a lot of his money. And he was making a wedding. And he didn't have the money to pay for the wedding. And someone told him, why don't you go to America to collect? When people go to America, they don't have money, they collect there, you'll bring... He said, no, I'm not going to America. You know what? Someone went there, they told me about it. So you know what happens? So a guy goes to America, And he starts to collect. He goes collecting and he sees that he's not making anything. He's made a couple of dollars here and there. And he put in so much effort and he starts getting frustrated and more frustrated. And he gets so frustrated that he breaks down and he starts crying out to Hashem, please. And only after he starts crying out to Hashem at the end, then he gets all the money. He says, what should I waste my time? I can pray from here. In the end of the day, what's getting him the money is going to be his tefillot. Why should I waste my time there? I'll pray from here. It was a simple truth. Tefillah is real. It works. It's a force that brings down beracha that we said is waiting there for you already. The Brisker Rav wasn't feeling well. Students came over to him. They said, Rabbi, we're praying for you. We're praying for you, Rabbi. He says, you're not praying for me. He says, we are. What do you mean? If you were praying for me, I would have felt better already. I don't believe, you're not praying. It's not real tefillah, because real tefillah is answered. The Amidah is a time, like we said, to discuss things with Hashem. To discuss. You don't have to stick always to the regular text. Okay? Whatever the Chafetz Chaim said, before you start a beracha, you think about it. What am I about to pray for now? Rifuah? Okay, let me think in my mind. Who needs rifuah now? What do I need in rifuah? And you incorporate it into the beracha. You're going to talk about Barech Aleinu. What do I need today? Don't say, it's not general. Give me parnasa. I have a meeting at 2 o'clock today and I need success in that minute. Pray for it right there. Everything. Every day the tefillah should be different. Your tefillah from today should not be the same as your tefillah from yesterday, because every day you have new needs. The Zer HaKodesh says, if a person is feeling despair, that is, his tefillot aren't working, he gives him some advice. He says, first of all, you should never feel that way. That's number one. But if you do, he says, if you think, and he says, like we said before, no matter how bad a person is, Hashem wants you. But if you think that you're too bad, he says, don't worry, have zichut avot. Hashem will listen to you in the merit of your parents, in the merit of your grandparents. And you have to remember, you have a neshama that's connected to Hashem. The neshama is asking. It's not only you're asking. Your soul is asking. And your neshama is so holy, it's connected to God. He's going to listen to the neshama. And third, he says, Hashem wants you to be answered more than you do. Hashem feels your pain. Think about that when you're praying. You'll pray with emotion. But sometimes, we need to work. We need to work a little bit. To understand the words, to understand what we're doing. Like anything in life, nothing comes good without a little work. The rabbis always say, if you compare your spirituality to your business, you'll be successful. If you do anything like you do for your business, you do it for Torah, you'll be successful. Guy wants to succeed in business. How much thought does he have to put into the business? He's opening his own business. He's thinking about it day and night. How much education and schooling is required? How much energy do you put in? Guy wants to have success in his Amidah and his Tefillah. He might have to go to a class, understand the words. You might have to open up the English Siddur and see what you're talking about. It might take a little work, not that much work. It's a little work. The main work is going to be in your heart. The main work is to believe. Hashem wants your heart. He doesn't want the lip service. He wants what's on your mind to come out, and he wants to answer you. Gemara describes a situation of two people who were deathly ill. And they both were praying to Hashem. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that one guy was healed and the other one died. And the Gemara says, why? Why was this one answered and this one not? And the Gemara says, because this one prayed kehogen, this one prayed properly, and this one didn't pray properly. So Rav Eliyahu Lopian says, how could you not pray properly? Your life's on the line. I'm sure the guy was crying, he was screaming, please save me. What does it mean he didn't pray properly? And he said, it's simple. He said, the one who was answered, he prayed with the realization that the only one he could turn to was Hashem. And he really believed that Hashem could heal him. You really believe Hashem? You turn to me and there's no one else for you to rely on? I'll heal you. The other one could have been, he was crying. What is he crying for? He's crying. He feels he's going to die, so he's crying. He's his last. But he didn't pray with emunah. He didn't pray with the realization that Hashem could help him. A lot of people, most people, They don't like being asked for money. You come over to a guy, I need money, money. It's people like to shy away from. A guy, a rabbi, once went to a wealthy man. He was poor his whole life. He struck it rich. The rabbi went to him for donation. And the guy said, "Rabbi, I love to give tzedakah. I'm so happy I could give tzedakah. Tell people about me. Go spread my name. I want to give." He wants to give. Amazing. He found the guy who wants to give. Hashem says the same thing. Hashem says, "Go tell people about me. I want to give. I want to give them. I'm not trying to hold back. I have storehouses and storehouses of blessing waiting to shower upon my people. Go tell them about me. I'm ready to give them." But there's different ways of approaching a wealthy man for a donation. And depending on how you approach him is how you'll get your money. You could go over to him in shul. You could have the guy as a walk around every morning with the quarters. You go to the guy could be a billionaire, but he's shaking his hand with quarters. He's going to get a quarter. He might get a dollar. That's it. You go to the wealthy man in shul, your maximum, you're getting a dollar out of him. You go to his office, stop, maybe you'll get $100 out of him, $200. So you want to get the most out of him? He says you have to call him up and you have to make an appointment with him and come to his house. And you go to his house and you say, "Mister," he says, "you are the only one that could help us. I'm not going to anybody else but you. It's all you. You are the only one with the means who could take care of this project. And we're leaving it all up to you." Now he feels responsibility. He's not going to give you $200. You're leaving it all up to him. That's how you have to approach Hashem. If you have in the back of your mind, I'm going to make my money over here, but Hashem, I should put out your hand for a donation from Hashem, you're going to get a quarter. But if you say, "Hashem, there's nowhere else for me to turn. It's only you. I know I have nobody else. I'm putting all my faith in you." Hashem says, "How could I let him down? He's relying on me." That's how you have to pray. Whatever the problem is, whatever the need is, say, "Hashem, I'm relying fully on you." And if you don't feel this way, if we don't feel, not only, it's hard to feel that Hashem is, He's going to take care of me when I ask Him. Then pray for that too. Pray for emunah. Pray that I should believe in you, Hashem, that you could take care of me. There's a famous Devar Torah from the altar of Kelim. We know that the Kohen Gadol, on the great holy day of Yom HaKippurim, he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim and he makes a tefillah. And one of the things that he says, everybody knows, is he says, "Hashem, please don't answer the Ovrei Derachim when they're walking on the road and they don't want to get rained on. They're going to pray to Hashem, please don't let it rain. And we need rain. Everyone needs rains for their fields. Please don't listen to that guy." Everybody asks, "Well, that's what we're concerned about on Yom Kippur. We need the Kohen Gadol to go counteract the tefillah of this yo-yo on the road. He doesn't want to get wet, so he's going to pray that the whole Klal Yisrael shouldn't get rain. And we're going to listen to him. Hashem's going to listen to him. What kind of tefillah, what business is this tefillah doing in the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom HaKippurim?" And he says, amazing. He says, when this guy is out on the road and it starts raining, he knows that there's nobody else that could stop the rain except Hashem. When he's going to ask that the rain should stop, it's going to be a dangerous tefillah, because he's going to put all his faith in Hashem. When you put your faith in Hashem, we need the Kohen Gadol to counteract this tefillah. There's no other way, because it's dangerous. He's putting his faith in Hashem. So if we could bring this into our lives, again, we would have a different life. A life when we could bring down beracha through tefillah. And it's not that difficult. The Rishna, he gives a mashal of how it's not difficult. He gives a nice mashal. He says, it says in the Torah four times the word ma. What says more than four times? There's four pisukim that start with ma. And he makes a connection between all of them. It says, "Ma rabu ma'asecha Hashem." Hashem, how great, how many are your works? Hashem is awesome. Then it says, "Ma enosh ki tizkirenu." What is man that we should mention him even? Man is nothing. Ma enosh. And then it says, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach. What does Hashem your God ask from you? Ki'im li'ira, nothing, just to fear Him. And the fourth Ma is Ma Rav Tuvcha Safante Lire'echa. How great is the reward that Hashem has in store for the people that fear Him. Those are the four Ma's. What is the connection between? Like we said, Hashem is great, people are nothing. What does He ask from us? And how great is the reward? So He gives a mashal. He says, imagine you had Alexander the Great. The great emperor. He was walking one day and he got lost in the forest. And he doesn't know where he's going. He's lost. And he sees in the forest a gypsy smoking a pipe. So he says, wow, I could use one of those right now. Good, yeah, I want to smoke something. So he goes over to the gypsy and he says, hey buddy, give me a light. And the gypsy says, I'm sorry, I can't give you. All right, yeah. Here's a gold coin. He takes out of his pocket a gold coin. Please give me a light. He says, No, I'm not giving it to you. He says, I don't think you know who you're talking to. I'm the most powerful man in the whole world. I rule the world. I'll make it worth your while. Just give me some light. I'll give you bags and bags of gold when we get back. And the guy says, no, I'm not giving you. He says, all right, enough of this. I'll make you the governor of a whole city. Just give me some light. And the guy, no, I'm not giving it to you. And he says, Alexander's getting desperate. He says, I'll give you half the malchut. I'll give you half of my kingdom. Just give me a light. And the guy says, no, I'm not giving it to you. Says the rabbi, this is ridiculous, this story. The guy, he's giving him everything. And what is he say? No, I'm not giving you a light. He says, it's the same thing. He says, who's asking here? Alexander the Great, the most powerful man in the world. Who is he asking from? This low little guy. He's asking from a little gypsy. And what is he asking for? Nothing. Little light. Just give me a little light. And what is he promising? He's promising him all the wealth in the world. He says Hashem is the same thing. Marabu ma'asecha. Hashem is awesome. He's nora. He's unbelievable. Who is asking us? Who's asking us to pray? Hashem, the great, the King of Kings. Who is he asking to pray? Ma'enosh kid. He's asking us, little people. He's asking from us. And what is he asking for? A little fire. Just put a little spark in your heart. All I want from you is a little ulavdo bechol levavchem. Just use your heart in tefillah. Give me a little fire. And what is he promising? Whatever you want, just ask me. Ma rav tuvcha safante. I'll give you it all. And what do we do? We say, no. I just want to go fast. I want to just get it all. It doesn't make sense. We have to think about this. Think how awesome tefillah is and put your mind to it. The key to being successful in many areas is all in the preparation, like we said. A person should try his best to be from the first 10 to the minyan. Even if 100 people come after him, we know he gets the reward for all of them. And the Sefarim say, it's not just the first 10. The earlier you come, the better your position is. The Shela HaKadosh says that one of the 9 things that's mekadesh a person in life is to be from the first 10 in the tefillah. See, you become holier. The Zohar writes that someone who comes first to shul, he says, it's like he gives a mashal of a king. The king is coming to town. And he's expecting this huge entourage to come and greet him. And nobody's there yet. And who's there? One guy. One guy is waiting there. The king's like, it's only you?
Kiss up.
All right. He says, alright. It's only me and you. And he starts hanging out with the king. What could I do for you? Rohi, whatever you want. Guy comes to shul, he's alone. Hashem, it's only me and you. Alright. Go ahead, start asking. The Shekhinah connects with the first guy in the shul. The Me'am Lo'ez says, if you would know what coming early does for your tefillah, he says there would probably be a fight at the door in the morning to see who gets in first. You'll be people camping out the night before by the door. I want to be the first one in shul the next morning because your tefillah is going to be answered. Preparation. Where are you praying? The place where you pray is so important. It's you're setting up your business. This is where I'm setting up my business. God wants to have a good location. I want to be right in the heart of all the business. You have to pray in a place where you're going to be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish. What does that mean? You don't want to be necessarily always next to your friends, or you don't want to be you want to be in a quiet place where you could concentrate, the best spot, a good place where we won't be distracted. Wherever it is, any shul that you know is going to pray slow and good, and it's going to... The Shela also says that learning before praying could make it easier to focus. You come into the praying already on fire from the learning of Torah. Your mind has Kiddushah in it. The Mishnah Berurah says we want to all have dachat from our children. We want our children to grow and be good in Torah. He says, when is the time to ask Hashem to have for your children's success in spirituality? It's in Birkot HaTorah. In the early morning hours, when you're saying V'nihyeh anachnu v'tzetzainu v'tzeinu pri Hashem, let us and our children and our grandchildren. Imagine a guy in shul praying with kavanah in the morning, instead of like many of us do sometimes, including myself, driving to shul saying Birkot HaShachar in the shul, and I don't even know what beracha I'm up to, and what did I say it already? Didn't I say it while I'm walking? It's a huge difference. It's all in. And it's a matter of 5 minutes, the whole thing. Instead of falling into shul at 7:03, if you got there at 6:57 and you put on your tefillin and you were ready, set, go, when the chazan starts, your tefillah, instead of catching up, you could pray slow, you could pray good. And I did this myself. I started praying with the English sidur, the orot sidur. It's easier to concentrate. We're familiar with English. I read the words totally in English. In the whole Pisukei de Zimra, in the Yotzer Or, I'm just reading the word. I'm saying them by heart in Hebrew, and I'm reading the Tefillah in English. And I have time. I try my hardest to get there and get there with enough time to put on my Tefillin and to pray. It's a different day. Makom HaTefillah also, in the shul, you should always try to have the same spot. If you could, you don't want to get into a fight over the seat, it's not a big deal if someone sits in your chair. But if you could have the same spot, you make it kavua. Hashem is waiting there. This is my seat. Hashem is waiting for me to come pray. Tefillah is kavua. Be'ezrat Hashem, the more you put into your tefillah, the more you'll get out of it. Hashem says, I'm waiting. Just come and ask me. Prepare. Do what you have to do. And Be'ezrat Hashem, Hashem will give us all that you want. Everything that all your heart's desires should be answered. Be'ezrat Hashem, Amen. Amen.